Has issue one ever come before voters before? Has it ever come before the legislature before?
So I think the question, tort reform has been something that's been on the legislature's mind since at least 2003. The Civil Justice Reform Act of 2003 made changes in Arkansas that's considered tort reform and showed immediate success after its passage. But over about the last 15 years, the Arkansas Supreme Court has basically gutted the Civil Justice Reform Act of 2003. There have been other attempts to, have a legislatively referred or have a, an issue referred as a, citizen-initiated act. But issue one is what's on the ballot this year.
How can voters be expected to understand this issue of tort reform? I would hazard a guess that maybe most voters don't even know the definition of tort. This is a pretty complex issue that many believe rightfully should be left up to the judiciary. Why is this being put to voters?
I don't think that many believe rightfully should be left up to the judiciary. I think the Arkansas voters have the opportunity to make decisions for the state and decide, do they want to pass an amendment to the Constitution that will help the state be competitive when we recruit jobs, when we grow jobs in Arkansas? Have an amendment to the Constitution that will help make Arkansas more competitive when we recruit doctors to come in Arkansas. Arkansas is ranked 48th in infant deaths. It's ranked 44th in maternal mortality.
Is there, though, evidence that doctors aren't coming to Arkansas or being trained in Arkansas and then leaving because malpractice insurance is too high or the threat of lawsuits with heavy penalties and awards too great?
Yeah, I think what you'll see is you'll see recruiters use that as part of the formula. By no means are, growing jobs and recruiting doctors, it's not a single issue, but it is part of the formula. When we look around at job postings for cardiologists, for example, for surrounding states, you'll see headlines that blare cardiologist wanted for tort reform state. And when we look at our neighboring state of Texas, the Texas governor, about in March, he presented a study or he accepted an award for economic development, and he said, listen, it's part of a formula, right? It's tax reform, it's regulatory reform, it's workforce development, and it's litigation reform that makes Texas so attractive to grow jobs. The president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank said in 2011, when he was asked about why Texas grew 38% of all the jobs in the United States, he said the number one reason that Texas was so successful, a lot of folks think it was 0% income tax. He said that was one factor. But he said more important, and these are his words, not mine, he said more important, it was tort reform.
The amendment expressly limits the fees that attorneys can collect, correct?
Correct.
But it doesn't limit the fees that defense attorneys, corporate attorneys, can collect from their corporate clients over these cases. Why not target both sides of that equation?
Well, let's back up a little bit. It addresses contingency fees that are charged by lawyers in civil cases, and it caps those fees at a third of the judgment of the net settlement. Right now, contingency fees can range up to as high as 50%. I've seen documented as 50% of the gross settlement, and this allows Arkansans to keep more of of what they earn from an accident. If they are in an accident, they're harmed. It's their money, and they should be able to keep more of it.
I think opponents of Issue 1 would dispute that strenuously. I think they would say it protects major special interests with major coffers, big coffers, the nursing home industry, the trucking industry.
Issue 1 is about growing jobs, and small business owners support it, large businesses support it. The contingency fee that's proposed in Issue 1, it's not novel. There are other states in the country that have contingency fee caps. As a matter of fact, the Florida contingency fees get down to 10% as a contingency fee cap. So it's a generous contingency fee cap that protects the access to justice, but it provides more protection for victims who are able to keep more of the settlement from their own accidents.
I think even aside from looking at awards or contingency fees, the judicial establishment, both judges and lawyers, what irks them the most in Issue 1 is the perceived overstep of power that the legislature would have over the judiciary, the power of establishing evidentiary norms, the power of procedure. Why should the legislature have more power as it pertains to the judiciary, the third branch of government?
So issue one restores a check and a balance in Arkansas that I think the pendulum has gone too far. The judiciary has taken over more of, and they've expanded their authority to include making rules and policies that affect the entire state. The recent Supreme Court nominee, Judge Kavanaugh, he said judges should interpret the law, not make the law. And issue one provides a fair check and a balance on the power of the judiciary and appropriately places the rulemaking decisions and the power of policy decisions like joint and several liability, collateral source rule, affidavits of merit. It allows the legislature to reform the law, and the Courthouse Dogs Child Witness Support Act that was passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, was overturned in Little Rock by a judge who said the legislature doesn't have the power under the current laws to pass those kinds of reforms to protect victims in court. And this restores a balance of power. It's a shared balance of power. The amendment explicitly states that no rule of procedure, practice, or anything else that the legislature passes can infringe upon the rights of a trial by jury. And if something the legislature passes is unconstitutional, it can still be declared unconstitutional by the judiciary.
Who represents your side on issue one?
So Arkansans for Jobs and Justice is a broad-based coalition of individuals and organizations that have come together. We've got donors from a $5 retiree up to corporate donors who are part of our organization. Our committee is made up of groups that represent doctors and farmers and healthcare folks. It's the Arkansas State Chamber. It's the Poultry Federation. It's the Trucking Association. It's the Arkansas Healthcare Association. It's the Farm Bureau. It's the Hospital Association. It's the Arkansas Medical Society. So it represents a broad spectrum of Arkansans and Arkansas interests. And our donors reflect that same level of broad-based support for issue one.
How are you guys taking the case to the people this summer and fall?
So we're doing a number of activities because I think you're right. Back to your original question, it's a complicated issue. And it's an important one for Arkansans to understand. We've had, we're going out to community groups and speaking at community groups. We're doing interviews like this one. We're going door to door. We've got folks and volunteers out at community events, passing out information, answering questions about issue one. I do think it's important for Arkansans to understand it. There are a number of sources online where they can get information. They can get full access to information about issue one. They can go to our website at arjobsandjustice.com. The Cooperative Extension Service will put out a fact sheet about issue one, I think in September, that will fairly reflect both sides. There are a number of online sources like Ballotpedia that will show both sides of the issue. And I think that the more voters can educate themselves on the issue and make their own decision about it, I think that they will come to the conclusion that issue one is an important change or an important policy for our state because it does make us more competitive with surrounding states to grow jobs.
In the case of severe catastrophic injury, the cap would be $500,000. So if I was legally crossing the crosswalk and a semi-truck rolled over me and I was a quadriplegic, the most I could hope to sue for damages would be $500,000. That's a lot of money, but as far as these things go, that and as far as a life goes, it's just not that much.
Well, let's back up first because I don't mean to correct you, but I'm going to correct you because it's not accurate to say that it's only $500,000, first and foremost. Number one, and this is important for our candidates to understand, and it's important to understand all of the components of it. First and foremost, there is no cap whatsoever on what are called economic compensatory damages, things like medical bills, lost wages, loss of property, those kinds of things. There's no cap on those, and those can easily run into the millions of dollars. I mean, under issue one, you will still have million-dollar verdicts in Arkansas. There is a cap. It's a common-sense fair cap of $500,000 on non-economic damages, which are considered just generally pain and suffering. And then there is the ability to receive punitive damages. And once again, this will be decided by a jury if it goes to a jury trial. And punitive damages can be $500,000 or three times compensatory damages. So if your economic damages are $1 million, your punitive damages could be $3 million. If your economic damages are $1.5 million, I mean, you can do the math. So you can see that there are million-dollar verdicts will still happen in Arkansas so that people are made whole and our and their economic damages are fully compensated. And I think it's also important to note there's no cap on punitive damages in cases of intentional misconduct. There are no caps whatsoever. So if there's intentional misconduct, there's no cap on those damages. And it doesn't affect the ability of, an Arkansan to seek that kind of justice in front of a jury.
Carl Vogelpohl is the campaign manager for Arkansans for Jobs and Justice. He's also the president of Split Rail Consulting here in Little Rock. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you so much for allowing us to join you and talk about this important issue.